Welcome to another episode of Why Not You with your host, Derek Wells, where we talk with leaders and entrepreneurs who are doing what they love to do. They'll share insights into overcoming adversity, the systems they use, along with the power of personal growth, faith, and much more. Our goal is to empower you with personal growth, faith, and a plan for ultimate success. Now, here's Derek with another life-changing story.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of Why Not You. This is your host, D. Wells. We're just going to continue this conversation, part two, with Leland and Ron. Today, we're just going to dive right into the critical conversation about understanding money and highlighting the need for financial freedom. So just join us as we listen to these speakers share their stories, emphasizing the significance of exploring the concepts such as compound interest and the rule of 72. Hey, let's just get into it. Let's go.
I'm jumping on board with that movement.
You know what I'm saying? Come on in. D, that's one of the reasons why I reached out to you, bro. It's like, right, you know, the opportunities we have here are for business partners and clients. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to educate, you know, I reached out to you in general to just to, you know, to make sure that, you know, no family is left behind, beginning with my direct impacted network. You like that word, Lee? I like that. Direct.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I like that, man.
You got a coin now, Lee. Right. I'm hot for real,
right? You hot now, man.
Yeah. So that's the main point. When I reached out to you, I was like, I gotta reach out to my folks and let them know that you gotta do something to show your responsibility and your commitment to your family, having some type of leverage to cover themselves and some type of back to know for a fact that, hey, I took care of business. You know what I mean? This is my legacy, and I care about them. So that was, you know, and we created this process, this podcast now. So, you know, the opportunities are always open for you and anyone else around you that need this. That's what we're here for. That's the whole point of this podcast, is to educate and communicate.
Now, I have a question just on, just when it comes to like stocks and stuff like that, because you're talking about paying interest. And I know quite a few people who, you know, they invest money in CDs, and I'm like, wow, the interest that you can actually get from a CD, it might not sound like a lot, like especially when you think about the money that you're actually contributing, and they're going to have it for like 6 months or something like that, and 6 to 9 months, maybe a year. And you might make $800 off of that, depending on how much money you put in, maybe more. Do you think putting your money into a CD or buying some stocks that actually pay a dividend is more beneficial?
So to answer your question directly, it would always, with a stock, you always have the risk that you could lose it all.
Right.
And so your risk tolerance has to be at a certain level to where you understand, do you have the bandwidth to take those losses? Mm-hmm. If you don't have the bandwidth to take those losses, then a CD is just a safer way to go because there's no interest rates hardly on it, but you're not going to lose.
Yeah.
Right. You're not going to gain, but you're not going to lose.
Yeah.
And in a stock, you know, you could gain, but you still got to pay taxes.
That's
you pull that money out. Right. And you got to pay income tax. But, you know, there's an opportunity that you could gain, you know, a lot more. So I guess to answer your question, it would all depend upon, you know, that person's risk tolerance and where they're at financially. And that's one thing that we do with a lot of our clients. We paint a picture for them and have them, you know, fill out tools for us.
Yeah.
And they need to look at their finances where they're at.
Yeah.
Derek, did you know the average person in America barely has $5,000 in their savings account, right? So when you're talking about working class Americans, they don't have any money to lose.
Yeah.
The middle class, right? Now the upper class, you know, we see, and we tend to focus on people who have, you know, a lot of money and take their story and think that's our, you know, kind of dream. Right. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that the message that I preach to people all the time is this: I'm going to help you based on where you're at and grow you step by step. Yeah. So that way you could get to your goal. But first we need to make sure that you have a come to Jesus talk with yourself to understand what you got.
Right.
Like a true preacher, huh?
I know, because some people be in straight denial.
Right. And the church say amen.
Right.
Come on, Red.
If we don't take a picture of what you got, then we don't know. We can't take no steps toward nowhere. So that disillusional proportion where people are, you know, not in tune with where they're at financially, that's what we want to bring to life. Yeah. Another thing that we want to bring to life is that we want to make sure they understand that if everything was to collapse today, if they were to take the job away today, how long would the money last?
Yeah.
So when we ask that question, they go, well, shoot, 2 weeks, all right, or a month or a year or 2 years. We want to build them up to a perspective to where it's 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. And the only way you could do that is with high interest rates. And so I get what you're saying when you talk about the stock and the CD, because a lot of people buy CDs, and that was kind of the old way of doing financial services because CDs were supposed to be safe.
Right.
And so that basically just kind of stays there, and, you know, the bank makes money off you. And sure I want to make sure you understand to all the listeners out here, for Mr. Derek, well, the bank is making a lot of money off you guys. So stop letting the bank make all that money off you. But anyway,
pay yourself.
You may have your own bank, but So that's a really good question. But to really, really be honest, I would say, depending upon what a person has saved and if they are familiar with taking losses in the market, would they even want to go play in the market?
Yeah. Wow. And I know people already have like just problem trusting other people when it comes to money, and just managing and just hoping they I know so many people just be playing a lottery, boy. And I'm like, how important is it just to invest in yourself and educate yourself on how to spend money, or just, spend and invest money?
Yeah. I mean, it's critical for you to have a every year plan on where you're going to try to grow at. I think that there's a big difference between living and existing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing is with money. So every year, you know, if you're spending money and you're not investing money and you're not paying yourself to grow, then you're not going to be able to take care of yourself when you no longer can perform. So that's a true fact that a lot of people miss.
Yeah.
So here's my deal. What I tell people all the time, there's some elements in life that you have missed out on that you have to take back. First thing is called insured. You've insured your car. You've insured your health. You've insured your cell phone, but you haven't insured your money. So insuring your money means that you are guaranteed an interest rate every single year for growth on your money. So if you have that, then you're always working from a growth perspective and you're in the green.
Yeah.
If you're working from the other perspective, then that means that you are trying things out and you are hoping. And we know that hope is a church strategy, not a business strategy. So we got to get out of the hope game and get into the game of understanding how much money we have each year is growing. I was working with some pro athletes the other day that had retired from the NFL. And one of the things that, you know, was really sad, because I educated them. I had about three or four of them, and I educated them. And after we got done, you know, they all became my clients. But the one thing that they didn't know is that they were paying almost 55 to 60% taxes the whole time they were playing ball.
Wow.
So they didn't work from a growth perspective, right?
Man.
They were, and even though they made millions, they have hardly no money left. One of the guys was one of the guys has a famous guy, but this guy's Super Bowl rings were worth more than the cash he has. So, and he played in the league for 13 years.
That's sad.
Isn't that sad?
That is sad.
Yeah. So the only thing he really has of value that's left are the rings. And he's like, I don't want to sell them. I may have to at some point.
That is sad.
Yeah.
Ooh-wee. Yeah.
So think about it. At every level,
right,
there's another devil. So if a person doesn't get onto it, they don't get the fact of this money situation is so important. That's why it's so important to get educated. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so important to know the truth. That's why it's so important to know where you're at. If you don't know those things, then you're really, really, really fooling yourself.
That's why I'm so thankful, and just with personal growth and just becoming more self-aware. I wish more people would actually take some kind of assessment of themselves and just to know where they are not just financially, but in every aspect of their life. And we already know, like, we're just with money already.
Mm-hmm.
Money ranks up there with oxygen.
Very well put,
bro. You need it to survive. And so it was like, why won't people just invest more time into it? I was like, man, it just kills me how many people are living paycheck to paycheck.
Oh man, yeah, that's a reality. Yeah, it's a big reality. sad but true.
Yeah.
Sad but true. And just think about it from this perspective. When we talk about money with certain cultures, everybody has a different type of understanding of money. But also when you bring up money,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times people, they think it's taboo.
Yeah.
Like we shouldn't have this discussion. We shouldn't talk about it, but we really need to talk about it. We really need to talk about how much money we need to have. We really need to talk about the prices of everything. We really need to talk about how to get into those first-time buyer programs. We really need to talk about how to invest. We need to talk about how to grow your cash, because those conversations are not happening. You're not passing legacy wealth. You're passing legacy debt.
That's right.
There's only two things you could pass when you leave this earth, right? It's wealth or debt, because they have it set up that way. So if you're under the government regime, you're going to leave debt. Let's do an example. You got a 401k. You work for 30 years. You got a job. You retire. You pass away. Your family picks up the what? The taxes on and the income tax on that. All right. So listen to what I just said, though.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, well, what do you mean, Leland? If you die, your family has to pick up the tax bill. Now let's look at the rich people. The rich people, they got their money set up in insurable products. They got after tax products. They got high interest rates. If they die, they pass what?
Well,
tax-free cash. They have living trusts. They have the Rockefellers had a living trust that's circulating, and they're still worth $25 billion today.
Wow.
After 110 years, they are still multi-billionaire family. Rothschild, same thing. All right. Vanderbilt's not so much. They actually didn't invest their money the correct way and they lost it all. So what am I saying? When we talk about we love our families, when we say we love our wife, we love our children, we love our grandchildren, we love all these things. Well, do we have things set up to where that last name can continue in a healthy financial perspective?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
I just think about so many families, who, I mean, especially in our community, right? That, where one of the loved ones ends up passing away and they don't even have enough money to bury him.
Yes.
That's sad.
Me and Ron have been seeing that so much, man. I have a t-shirt coming out that says GoFundMe is not a financial strategy.
Man,
right, but it's,
I mean,
it's, go ahead, Ron.
And just to be transparent, man, to be honest with you, man, it's a tragic but true story I'm going to share with you. My mom passed when I was in my freshman year in college. I'm out there playing baseball, living a life, whatever it is. We didn't have no money to bury her. We didn't have no money to bury her. We didn't have no plan set up, none of that stuff. And it took us a while to finally face the fact that we had to do a cremation and couldn't even afford a casket to put her in to present her to the world before she went home. So this is realistic, and this is something that's really personal to me. I've seen it firsthand, and I'm just being honest with folks and being transparent. Don't wait. Don't wait. And I mean, it's like I said, the goal is to make sure you do something to help your family, not hurt your family.
Right.
Yeah. Really pretty serious stuff. Huh?
That is.
Yeah.
So what are some of the what are some of the books and articles that have read and that have actually just kind of helped you grow, like just in the financial arena?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. One that I want everybody to read is called Money, Wealth, and Life Insurance. Money, Wealth, and Life Insurance. How the Rich Stay Rich.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by a guy by the name of Jake Thompson. That's one. Another one is called The Retirement Miracle. It's a book written by a guy by the name of Patrick Kelly. There's another guy by the name of David McKnight. He wrote a book called The Power of Zero. how to have a zero tax bracket on your money. And these are all easy reads. You can read these books in like 1 hour. You can sit out for 1 hour and read the book and your brain would go, boom. I got it now. Right.
Yeah.
But there's so many, you know, I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, of course, by Robert Kiyosaki. Tony Robbins has a great book called The Money Game.
Yeah.
Right. So just different. I've read probably, probably over 100 books just on different financial things. But the ones that I just mentioned earlier, these are the guides that really anybody can understand, like Money, Wealth, and Life Assurance, The Retirement Miracle, The Power of Zero. Just those three books right there, you know, those books can take anybody from wherever they're at. Doesn't matter what level of education they have. Yeah. And if they read the books, they would know exactly what to do with their money. Right.
Yeah. I never forget when I heard Jim Rohn. I was listening to one of his old audios.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just in his voice. I'm trying to imitate his voice. But he just talked about it. He said a book could save you 5 years of your life. And I was like, man, how powerful is that, man, if you just take the time to read. And here we go. You just dropped down the number of books that could save somebody a whole bunch of time and money.
Yes.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's clearly good for you. It's just like, what do you want? I mean, if we put it in a soap opera form, everybody'd be rich.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, something like that, where it was like fashionable or what they call it now, sociable. That's the word. Social media and stylish.
Right.
I mean, guys, think about it this way. On the left side, there is 90% of the people in the country that have their money government owned. What is government owned money? I think this is very important. Government owned money means that you have a plan, you have your money in a plan, that if the government says tomorrow we're going to war or the stock market crashed, or we're too much in debt, they can freeze and take all your money. That's called a government-owned plan. Then you have on the right side, where you have money that's privatized, where you basically own your own money. So some people talk about home ownership, car ownership. And I talk to people about owning your own money. First, because if you own your money, you can have all the rest of those things. But imagine if a guy was to, you know, come to work one day. And this has happened just in the last year, where they have frozen some of the different accounts in America for certain federal workers and state workers. And now they're telling you that all your money you saved inside of your retirement is frozen and you can't get to it for another 12 months and you're about to retire. Think about that reality. That happens all the time. But what's taught to us is to trust our job and trust where we spend most of our time and not read those books.
Yeah,
that I just mentioned, to where our mission is that, let me just give you this book.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just, don't buy nothing from me. Let me give you this book. Let me sit you down and so you can understand it. And then we can have a conversation where you can have true ownership. The United States was built on what? Business ownership. It wasn't even built on employees.
Ownership.
It was ownership. So you gotta own some things, but you really gotta own your money.
That's true.
You really, and if you're just putting your money in a bank, I hate to say this, but you know, the bank is giving it to the industry that me and Ron are in. So the bank is smart. They're just taking your money and they're flipping it with us 6 to 8 times per day and giving you nothing back but 1%. Well, let me ask you a question, D. If you went to dinner and you sat down and they gave you a plate, would you want 1% of your food?
Nah. I'm gonna give you all my food.
Right.
Yeah, put your money.
Right. And look how they got us. Even on these pre-tax accounts, oh, I match with 4%. Would you want 4% of your food? Is that give me 4% of my plate, please? And so that's the thing that we're saying. You need to own 100% of your money and have total control of your future. That's the only way you can control your future, is owning your dollars.
Man, that sounds like a cold brainwashing game right there.
Oh man, it's tough. But when we unpack it and we show it to people, they're like, oh man, I never knew. I'm like, yeah, but Now you're 55 and we got 10 years left.
Yeah. I know like Robert Kiyosaki and Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey is all about like getting out of debt. Robert Kiyosaki, man, you listen to him just kind of be hardcore sometimes. That brother like, hey, man, we going to use some other people's money. That isn't a bad thing.
Yeah.
Can you hit on that a little bit?
Yeah. So the one side they're saying get out of debt and pay all your debt off.
Yeah.
All right. And have no debt and be debt free. Well, let's look at a simple analogy. If you are 100% debt free, then that means you have no credit.
True. Yeah.
True. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And most things are purchased with what?
Credit.
Credit. Because they'll give you a credit line. They'll give you credit. Your credit's got to be good mm-hmm. to purchase certain things. So what Robert is talking about is that if you get debt, right, and you get into debt, it empowers you because it shows the fact that somebody is trusting you with their money.
Got it. Yeah.
Which gives you more power to keep flipping.
Mm-hmm.
If you are debt free, that's good for you, but it's not good for you to be able to sit down with somebody to show that anybody else trusts you. Because if I say, hey, D, I ain't got no debt. I'm debt free. Well, great. The minute that I go make a purchase, what am I back in? Debt. Unless I make 100% cash purchase, right?
Yeah.
So how many people buy their house at 100% cash?
Not a whole lot.
A whole lot, man. So they have to, right? Is you catching what I'm saying? So
yeah.
So when people come to me all the time, like, oh man, you know, I paid off all my cards. I paid everything off. I'm like, why? Just pay it down to the point to where it serves you. And as long as it's serving you to keep raising your credit, now you got more trust. Now you have to be trustworthy to have this trust, right? To be able to keep on flipping. So I agree, you know, I agree with both, but I know that what Robert is talking about is for people who want long-term big money.
Got it.
And for people who want smaller money, you know, you just kind of say, hey, I paid everybody else. Because if you give away all your seed money, you will have no harvest.
Oh.
Yeah. Ooh. So you can never give away all your seed money.
Yeah.
That was a look right there.
That was right there.
Yeah.
That's right. That was good. That was good. So, man, can you share real quick just on the significance of having goals and creating new habits and just associating mm-hmm. with the right type of people and in order to win. I know you touched on it like earlier, just as far as like, you know, not being the smartest person or being mm-hmm. the one with the most money in your group.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Thanks for asking that too. I think it's not only critical, but having goals is like air. Because if you don't have any goals, or if you don't have any, should I say, any written goals to where you can say, Think and Grow Rich talks about set your goals exactly down to the penny, all right? To understanding how, where you want to go, where you want to be, what you want to accomplish, and by when. This is a key point on the goals.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people set goals, but then they don't set timelines to them. So it's so critical not only to have a goal, but also to have that goal and then have an accountability system set with that goal, which is your timeline. So that would be something that I think is so detrimental to any type of growth you want to have.
Yeah.
Weight loss goal, by when? Money goal, by when? Spiritual goal, by when? Right? I'm a minister at my church and people say all the time, the Bible's so hard to read. I'm like, no, just set a goal. Come to Sunday school for 52 weeks in a whole year and then you'll read the whole Bible. They're like, I never thought of it that way. Yeah, that's what I got to do. Right? So have a goal, right? Yeah. Just don't miss a Sunday, you're on it, right? So whatever your goals are, that you have to not only have them set, written, but you have to have accountability, which is your timeline, right? Then if you don't make the goal, right, you don't just erase it. You keep attacking the goal. So I want to make sure that we stay on point here about goals. Some people that I mentor come to me, Derek, and they go, I have my goal. I didn't hit it. I got to about 75% of it. I'm like, you're 75% better than what you started.
Realizing it, huh?
Right. So you just keep going after the goal. All right. You have to rearrange it. So goals are like so critical to growth. I think there is no growth without goals. And if you ever want to take it a step further, I say there, you set the goals and then you hold yourself accountable to the result.
Yeah.
All right. And so that's like one of the most powerful things that I've been able to accomplish in my life. So I'm very, very big on setting my goals, and I'm my biggest critic. So I'm like, come on, man, you got to get here by here. All right. You got to get here by here. And so you keep retuning and keep refining those goals. Go ahead.
I was going to ask if you have some kind of like reward system, like once you actually achieve your goals.
Yeah, man, you were really good at this, D. I love how you think, man. I don't purchase things unless I hit my goals. Yeah, so people always ask me this, Leland, man, you going to go buy that? No. We hit the goal, and then our reward punishment system. So a lot of people always ask me about that. They're like, man, why are you like that? I'm like, man, do you know how much that has stretched me? Do you know how much that has grew my income?
Yeah.
You know how much that has grew my life? You know how much that has changed my marriage? Just by making sure that I don't do things until I get to those goals, and then I reward myself. So if I don't hit the goal, that means that I don't deserve it yet. I need to work a little bit harder, because somewhere along the line, I gave myself permission to give myself a break. Same. Once again, goes back to that point about the leisure.
Yeah.
All right. Right. Because if I have too much leisure, most people don't hit their goals because of leisure.
Mm-hmm.
I train a lot of guys that tell me they want to make $1 million in a year. And then they get to month 8 and they're at 600,000 and they go take a trip for a month.
A month? I'm like, come on. Like,
if you just would have did 4 more months or 5 more months, you would have hit your goal. Then they come back and then they kind of go back down to 400,000, 300,000. And then they kind of start over again. So that's kind of how I operate. I do a reward punishment system.
Okay. I like that. Shoot. Because One of mine is to make a meal.
Uh-huh.
And so I already told myself, once I get that, then I'll get that Rivian. Right.
That's what I'm talking about, man. That's what I'm talking about, man.
But the thing is, when I get the meal, man, I might not even want the Rivian. I might want something else. But the thing is, that's my benchmark. And so, I want it by the end of next year, too.
Man, I love it, man. Let me tell you this. My whole life, I wanted to buy a Bentley. My whole life, I've always wanted a Bentley. I've been pulling pictures of Bentleys out since I was in high school.
Yeah.
The minute I could afford a Bentley, I saw no value in buying one.
See?
I was like, who wants to pay $236,000 for a piece of metal that my kid can scratch if he backs it out the garage? Anyway.
Right.
Right. So don't get me wrong. I'm not cheap. Right. But I just, at that point when I was like, oh, I could afford that now. And I was like, oh, you know, I don't see no value in that. I want to do something else.
Right.
So guess what happened to me? The minute I could afford that, I looked at myself and I said, how many of my closest guys around me can afford it? And then that changed my whole perspective. Because if I can afford that, but my guys around me can't afford that, then I haven't done the work the correct way.
Oh, that's good right there.
And it's like amazing that you hear these certain things, man. And it's like, you know, I love that book, you know, Atomic Habits, because it's taught me so much about being disciplined and being able to take certain things and just say, all right, like Lee was saying, let's compound. I love that word compound, because it leads me into another subject that'll bring up before we close, is to be able to compound positive habits creates movement in the right direction, right? So that being said, is like, we have this thing called the Rule 72, and just understanding what compound wealth is, how that can work for you and how that works against you. If you don't know what it's about, Lee, can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah, compounding interest, the eighth wonder of the world. So compounding interest was utilized by Albert Einstein. He said, he who does not understand compounding interest will pay it for the rest of their life. So the Rule of 72 just suggests the fact that your interest is gaining interest. And so the number 72 represents the divisional number of what you can divide into interest rates. And that's how many years it will take for your money to double. So if you have a bank account, banks give 1%. So that basically means that it'd take you 72 years to double your money inside of a bank, because banks are not there to grow your money. If you have like a 401k or a 403b, the average over the last 40 years has been 4%. So that means that your money would only double every 18 years. if the stock market didn't crash, and 6% would be 12 years. But 12%, which is what we try to work with a lot of our clients, means your money can double every 6 years just for you saving it. So if you don't understand how compounding interest works, then you are working against yourself. Because once again, you have to have your interest compounding. Now, if your interest is compounding, then that means that you always can outpace inflation because you always have growth. You always have positive cash flow growing for you. If you don't have compounding interest, then you said it earlier, Derek, then you are gambling. Because you basically have no steady path of growth on your money. So you're like, man, let it ride. Let me ride. Let me try to get this going. Right. You know, so let me get on the dice game and see if I can win at the game of life. But anyway, so ultimately that's one of the most powerful tools, most powerful concepts ever brought forth in money and in interest rates and in growth. Because without compounding interest, you are compounding against yourself. So what we teach clients all the time is this: when a guy comes up to me and goes, "Hey, Leland, I have a financial advisor." I say, "That's awesome, man. Congratulations." And I say, "Can I ask you a question?" He says, "Yes." I say, "Well, what's your rate of return that you got last year?" And he'll say, "Well, I don't know." And I say, "Well, then you're not being advised the correct way because you don't know how you're compounding." Does that make sense? You don't know how you're growing.
Right.
So you better call him instead of waiting for him to call you.
Yeah.
So those things, and when it comes to compounding interest, I want to make sure and say this. Everybody, no matter if you're little, middle, small, big, whatever, everybody can partake of that. That's not something that's just for the rich. That's not just something for people who have, you know, tons of money. That's for the guy who's driving the bus, the guy who's a security guard, the guy who's a chef, which is an honest day's work. They need to have compounding interest the most because they don't have those big fluctuations of money coming in. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So we want to make sure everybody, and that book, Money, Wealth, and Life Insurance, talks a lot about that as well. It kind of talks about how McDonald's did it, how Walt Disney did it, how JCPenney's did it. They all knew that they needed to have compounding interest.
So huge. Man. You know, it when you're talking about compounding interest, it made me think of one of my buddies that I used to work with. He ended up retiring super early. Uh-huh. Just off in a risk that he took in investing. And he made a ton of money and he was actually able to retire.
Yeah.
12 years ahead of time, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which was huge. But, you know, that was one of his big things is, you know, one of the areas or one of his investments, it was paying him like 7% interest. And the money, the interest that he made off of that particular investment, he reinvested that into another option that was paying him another. And so he's like, all I'm doing, man, I'm compounding on my compound.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, he had it down, though.
Yeah, see? He did.
Yes, he did.
He understood.
He was speaking and doing the language.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Everybody got to get this down, man.
Yeah.
Right? Important. Goodness.
So, man, at this phase in your life, man, how would you define success?
Man, how would I define success? I would define success for me at this point in my life on how many people can I get to financial stability and how many people can I get to financial freedom? And so success for me at one point was about me and my family and my wife. And we worked extremely hard, my cousin, we worked extremely hard, you know, to get to a certain point. And we still got a ways to go. We're just getting started, my eyes said. But success for me today is that I've been able to get, you know, 11 people in the last 13 months to be able to reach their financial goals. Right. So how can I get that to 1,000? That would be success for me. How can I get that to 10,000? Can I get to a point to where I can get people to understand that they can do things on their own and they don't have to be dependent on the country, but they can actually make a move for themselves and basically build that legacy. So, you know, that's what success for me is. I mean, and I could be very honest, you know, for me, it was, can I make $100,000 a month? Can I make $200,000 a month? Right. That I had all these different things. And once we hit that, then it's like, okay, well, great. We did that. But then you look around and you're like, how many people are making $200,000 or $300,000 a month? Right. And so on and so forth. And so how can we get that? That's number one in success to me. Number two part of success to me, Derek, is can I get my community to understand that we have to understand money, that there's only three things that we could do with money? Can I get the 40 million people left in this country to understand there's only three things you can do with money? Number one is you got to grow it. Number two is you got to protect it. But then number three is you got to pass it on when you leave here. So how big of an influence can I become to do that? And if I can get the thousands and thousands and thousands of people in our communities to understand that, millions of people to realize that if they can just get a simple $100,000 or $200,000 or $500,000 life insurance policy. Somebody said this the other day on TikTok. It was so profound. He said, if everybody in our communities got a life insurance policy, they would change the laws, a lot of the gun laws, because all these people who were dying, you know, these companies would have to pay out. So they would stop all, they would start investing and stopping all these guns and everything else that's happening and stuff like that. So if we can just figure out a way on how we could get more people to protect their families and to be able to pass that, I would feel like I've become more successful.
Man, that's dope. That is huge right there. Do you have what's your goal for just by the end of this year, as far as like number of people that you want to just get on the right path and just kind of help them soar to new heights?
So before the end of the year, this, we have 2 months left. And so we promoted 8 people above multiple 6 figures last year. So we want to do 5. We want to do 5 more above $250,000, which is 1%, right? Which is almost 1%. Now 1% is 400,000. So above $250,000. And then I want to have at least 50 more people in my organization this year cross over 6 figures before the end of the year, so that they can basically start to have that money be utilized and start to invest it going into next year.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah. Because I think that the big thing, D, is remember, small money makes big money.
Yeah.
So some people shoot for the moon before they go to the stars, right?
Right.
And so if you could just, you know, if I could just get them on the path to like, all right, you got this. Now you can go to this. Now you can go to that. Because one of my biggest goals and as a financial leader is to get people in our organization and people that we bring into our organization to always double the medium. So double the medium is $140,000 to $180,000 a year. Because the medium is only $70,000.
See. Mm-hmm. Raise the bar, people. Raise the bar. Goodness gracious. Right? Stop having these self-limiting beliefs. Shoot.
Let's get after it, y'all. We can do it, man. Yeah. We can be more than basketball players and rappers and singers. We have a lot more to offer.
Yeah. So, man, before
if you reach out and do something from something more than yourself, and God will help you with all of the benefits of whatever, as long as you push to be righteously rich, right?
Yeah.
I like that concept. Righteously rich. God will take care of everything else.
That's right.
You're not going to destroy nobody's lives. You adding value to people's lives. So your prosperity is going to come in the work that you do in the community. And this is community-based work.
It is.
That's what I do. Yeah. He does. That's what we do.
That's dope. So, man, before I let y'all go, man, what can y'all share with the people just to inspire them to take healthy risks, to bet on themselves, invest properly, man, take action on their ideas and dreams, because that's what we're about.
And you know what? I'm gonna drop a little love, and I'm gonna let him finish it, because I know he got to say. I'm gonna let him close this out. honestly speaking, don't allow your situation to think that you can better that situation. Be smart enough to trust in the fact that you have to do something for your family to help them through crisis. And this is that smart tool. Use a smart tool. Be willing to take yourself to the next level by trusting in the fact that you know you want to leave a legacy. Use the smart tools. Use this as a smart tool, man. And this is it. This is a vehicle that can help anyone that's open-minded to it.
Man, that is so amazing. Yeah, and what I want to say, man, is once again, is thank you for having me on here. And the final thought that I would want to give is that you must understand that financial education is what leads to financial movement. If you don't get educated, you can't make the moves. If you can't make the moves, then you can't grow. And if you can't grow, then you can only repeat the same processes that you might have come from, which it may have been debt or may have been other things that'll hurt you. But the number one asset that you have that you got to invest in is yourself. And so really understanding that self-investment, that self-development, self-discipline, and those things that will actually get you to those plethoras, you got to get started somewhere. And it doesn't mean you got to make a rapid change overnight. What it does mean, though, is that you got to be curious enough to understand how to take care of you and how to take care of the ones that you love based on the knowledge that you gain, not based on what someone else says. So the more people that can get educated, and the more people that can understand the truth about why they're where they're at or why things are the way they are, then we can make the world a better place. But until we understand those factors, especially when it comes to finances, we will always perish by letting somebody else control our dollars. Ooh-wee.
Y'all heard it first, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Lele Rubin and my man Ron Jeezy. Goodness gracious. I appreciate y'all, bro. I appreciate y'all coming on, man.
Appreciate it, man.
This is good.
Yeah.
I want to thank Leland and Ron for taking the time to come on the show. And what a powerful couple of weeks. Man, we talked about so much just from, you know, understanding and educating everyone on finances, the benefits of it, creating that legacy wealth, taking ownership of your finances, goal setting, accountability, compounding interest, different investing options. So I hope you all learned a lot and just took a decent amount of notes so you can actually have enough information to take some action steps so you can better your future. I just want y'all to remember and know that we cannot become what we need if we remain where we are. So y'all have a blessed week. Why not you? Why not you put yourself in a better situation for yourself and your family? Let's go.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Why Not You? Remember, have faith and believe in yourself. God does. Also, subscribe to our channel and go to our website for more free content and life-changing stories at thewhynotyou.com. Until next time.